Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to episode 9 of the Socratic Method with your host, myself, Alex Bizzotti. Within this episode, I had the chance to speak with Coleman Ayers. He is the founder of By Any Means, where his mission is to change the world with a basketball. He started the company in 2015 when he was 16 years old by first starting off with the Attention to Detail series on his YouTube channel, while also training local hoopers. Today, By Any Means has grown into a global movement with an audience of over 400,000. Coleman's philosophy revolves around using science and research-backed methods to optimize the training of athletes. Skills and performance training are Coleman's specialties, as well as the nutrition, recovery, and psychology components that go into engineering the complete basketball player. Coleman has traveled both nationally and internationally to work with athletes in over 14 countries and 25 cities, including Australia, 8 European countries, Mexico, and more. He spreads innovative content to a global following of over 400,000 hoopers online. He opened the Detail Miami Gym in 2021, a 7,300 square foot state-of-the-art training facility in Miami, Florida. He has spoken at multiple coaches' clinics, both internationally and nationally, at Mastery Hoops Player Development Conferences, among some of the most prestigious names in the industry, and works with players of all levels, middle school to MBA, from all over the world in Miami, where he hosts his day-to-day training. Within this episode, we talked about the evolution of By Any Means, his story as a basketball player, the transition of becoming a trainer, some advice for young athletes and basketball players, his training philosophies, favorite drills, favorite players to watch, the knowledge he has gained as a young entrepreneur, what it is like owning a gym, his experience traveling and coaching around the world, and much, much more. I had a blast talking with Coleman, and I was very happy to have him on. You can find all useful links to Coleman's social media platforms and website in the description. This is the Socratic Method Podcast. To support, please follow us on Instagram, follow us or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening with, and please leave an honest rating in regards to the podcast, or like. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome my guest, Coleman Ayers. Please enjoy the episode. All right, cool. So can you go through the evolution of By Any Means? Because I remember we were talking about before, how you start off with a high quality production video, at least that's how I saw it, and then now it's got so many different avenues for and all these awesome things. So what was the evolution like?
Yeah, man, so I started off kind of where the name came from, and I could go on all day about it, but I'll keep it relatively short, is we started off as just like 15, 16 year old kids So grew up in Washington, D.C., DMV area, easily one of the best basketball areas, if not the best in the world. So I was like a 5'8", 5'9", white kid who just like was playing on one of the top 25 teams in the country. And because of that, we had to work our balls off day in and day out, specifically me. So, you know, I was one of those kids that just literally 5 a.m. workouts, like, 3 p.m., 8 p.m., go, and like, I just couldn't give it a break. So I was extremely dedicated to just taking that next level and eventually playing at the college level. And what we did was kind of document that process. So like myself, my buddies, we just literally had a camcorder that like my mom had, we found from like somebody and picked it up and started making videos, just kind of documenting it. And we called it the process. And so what happened with that is like, oh shit, like, it's actually getting some traction, which nobody will ever see those videos again because they're pretty embarrassing. But it's, you know, it got some traction. It was like 2,000 views or something. We're like, oh my God, this is like turning into Netflix quality.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we got to give it a name now. So very fitting. We gave the name By Any Means just because it was like made sense. Like we're trying literally everything we could to play at the college level, or some of my buddies had other, whether it's football, whether it's music, other stuff, like they were chasing as well. So that's kind of how it started, and that evolved into like, I got really into not only strength and conditioning, but like skills training and just kind of dissecting the game of basketball. So that started to take off as well in terms of just like, I started making these little breakdown videos. I started training people in the area, just like other kids my age, started training some of my teammates, all of which ended up pretty much going D1. So I got experience with training early, And then kind of stuck around in the DC area for a little bit until I went to school, and I was trying everything. I was trying to get into making like documentaries and stuff with video, like, you know, that was one of the big goals, was to make that super high quality. And then eventually moved down to University of Miami. So I chose, I was going to play the D3 ball or go to University of Miami, try to walk on there. Ended up, for a number of reasons, kind of following like my gut, which sucked at the time because I worked my ass off my entire childhood to play college ball, and I had the opportunities right there, and I was like, I know that I'm going to have a better chance at kind of chasing my true passion, which is like training, helping others get better, if I go down to Miami, which is obviously a very dense metro area with a lot of basketball, especially just like nationally and internationally, that comes into there. And made that decision, worked with the team for a little bit and was going to walk on, and then decided just to kind of chase my own passion. So started training through there. Through my 4 years there, that kind of blew up, I would say, about halfway through, just chipping away every day, training kids in the area, making content, like really trying to network. And I didn't know anyone in the area, so it was kind of on me to just make it work. By the end of it, by the end of my 4 years there, I was kind of traveling a little bit as well to train, just using the platform and trying to build a global influence. And then literally, as soon as I graduated, signed a lease on a gym. Wasn't that easy. Made it sound easy there, but it was the timing kind of lined up to where I was going to. Or after, as soon as I graduated, opened up a gym. It's called Detail Miami down in Miami. So, yeah, man, that's kind of the short but a little bit of a ramble version of the evolution.
That's a great story. So a lot of different points I want to hit, but I guess I'll start off with what was your game like when you were growing up, and what was your like style of play, you would say?
Yeah, so my style of play was literally just like, I mean, to put in perspective, my senior season, I want to say I probably took like, you know, there's that stat where it's like Klay Thompson took like three dribbles to score on that like 61 point game or whatever, or quarter, whatever it was. I'm pretty sure it's similar to that. So it was just catch and shoot. Like, if I took too many dribbles, I was getting my ass snatched out of the game because I was, again, 5'9", unathletic white kid. I could shoot the piss out of the ball. So I shot like 50% from three my senior year. But, again, it was just straight catch and shoot, one dribble pull-ups, try to play defense if I can, fuck up on that. But it's funny because my game has literally, like, since the moment I graduated high school ball, I was going to play D3. My game evolved like to a completely different play style. Like, every time I tell people, I was like, "Yeah, I used to be a spot up shooter, off ball guy." Like, "Yo, what the fuck? Like, you're a ball hog now. You're just like dribbling around and shooting and trying to go by people." So, but that was kind of the game. Just shoot the hell out of the ball.
When you became a trainer, do you think that kind of helped evolve your game a ton? Where like, you had to know how to demonstrate a lot of the things, and just learning new things that run through with players, you gained a ton of different skills.
No, 100%. I think two things happened that I usually tell people is like, number one is just that I was doing so much work to improve others that it was just kind of a natural thing to where now I'm digesting this information and applying it. I'm demonstrating, I'm playing against them without much pressure, so just trying new things. I also grew and just got stronger because I was able to finally do that. But then the main thing, or the other thing, that wasn't one of them. The other main thing was that, like, I just stopped giving a fuck about who I was as a player. I was like, all right, I now identify as a trainer. And I was one of those kids who would overthink all the time. Like, you know, I was never really scared in a game, but it was always just like, I was trying to kind of put myself in a box. And then after I didn't identify as a player anymore and I identified as a coach, a trainer, it's just like, it's a lot easier for me to just get outside of the box that I was kind of putting myself in and try new things. And then eventually I was like, oh shit, maybe I can do some of these things. Maybe I can break guys down off the dribble and you know, do some things that I never thought I could. So I think kind of a combo of those three things just kind of helped my game take off, which is funny because it's like, I'll go to places like Australia and they'll be like, dude, you should come over here and play like semi-pro or try to like play pro. They'd pay you a tag for that. I'm like, bro, what? Like, The 16-year-old me would be like jumping out of my shoes hearing that. But it's just hilarious how things kind of come full circle after you really stop giving a shit about it.
Yeah. And do you see that a lot with players, how maybe, like, I was one, I used to do this, I maybe placed a ton of value in maybe how I played in a game, and that affected a ton of different parts of my life. And it's like, once you take that so much of a, like you said, just, it's just, you're stressing yourself out trying to play and do well, and it's like, it impacts every other part of your life. So what's like the biggest limitation on players that you see that they kind of set on themselves?
Yeah, bro. I mean, and it's funny you ask this, because I had this conversation over in Australia probably like 6-7 times recently. And what I usually explain it as is, like, a lot of the times when we're younger and when we haven't put in perspective yet, like, we identify as a basketball player, not like somebody who plays basketball. And that it's tough to differentiate between those two things when you're younger. But I can see it now. Like, I can see when a player is like, when I have a bad game, everything else is thrown off. Like, I don't care what it is. Like, you don't want to have fun for a couple of days. Like, you hate yourself for a couple of days. Whereas, you know, not saying you shouldn't care about it, but it's different between being a basketball player and then someone who is playing basketball or someone who plays basketball. And I think when you're kind of able to dissociate yourself from being just a basketball player, it's like, you know, you put in perspective, it's you got a bad game, whatever, you'll come back, you'll have a good game. In the meantime, between those games, you can still operate and live a normal life. Obviously, you'll feel it a little bit. You'll be like, damn, I had a bad game. Shit, I got to remotivate myself. Not remotivate myself, but sharpen some things up, whatever. You can look at it a little bit more analytically. But I think when you identify as just a basketball player, everything becomes very emotionally driven. And whether it's a good game or a bad game, you can kind of get taken out of your game pretty easily, just because that's all you really care about, all you really identify as. So I see that all the time. And when players are kind of able to separate the two things, they make huge strides on the court, is what I'll typically see.
And so when did you realize that you wanted to transition? Like, when was that moment where you're like, all right, I'm a trainer now, I'm not a basketball player?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. I think it was kind of a gradual process where, like, even at 15, 16, I knew that that was the long-term goal. And then, I mean, clearly I had opportunities to play ball in college, but it was just like, I think it was kind of an honest, like, very frank conversation with myself when I was weighing those options of, like, what I wanted to do long-term. So I think it took me, like, kind of self-reflecting rather than just, like, a snap of a finger. But, I mean, looking back on that and kind of realizing how much foresight I had to choose, like, the training route rather than a playing route, is, I mean, not only is it kind of impressive even to myself, I'm just like, yo, I was kind of proud of the decision I made. It was also just, it kind of shows you how much I cared about that from an extremely young age. So I'd say it was like something where I kind of knew, like a gut feeling when I was 15, 16, 17. And then when it really hit me, like, all right, it's time to make a decision. And I made that decision. That's when it's like, all right, we're all in with this now.
Yeah. And that is impressive at that age to make that big of a decision where it's like, you got two routes to go down. You got to pick one kind of right now and just be all in on it. Hard for someone that age to make.
Yeah.
And what would be like your advice to maybe players who are in that place where they kind of have to make that decision, maybe getting ready to get out of high school and commit to a college or maybe take another route?
Yeah, for sure. So I think I've been telling players this a lot more recently where it's like, yes, you want to be able to chase what you have been working on for forever, like be a college basketball player. And I think there are a lot of opportunities that come with that. And, you know, I never discourage anyone from doing that. But there are a lot of players who I do see where I can just tell they have a gut feeling that they want to do something else. And the only thing keeping them in basketball or as a player is just kind of the pressure of like, dang, what are people going to think about me? Like, for me, I was the only player on my team that didn't play college basketball. Something I thought about every day was, dang, like, the coaches, the everyone else at the school, like, I'm going to be the one guy out who didn't play college ball, which is, like, to me, it's now it's kind of full circle because I'm like, well, I've kind of been able to see the world most through basketball. And, you know, we've all been kind of able to come up through the same game in just so many different ways. So I think there are a ton of ways to stay in the sport. And especially these days with social media, with training, with so many things developing, it's like the sport is becoming a huge market. And I would encourage people to, if you have a gut feeling that I'll put it this way, you're going to look back 4 years from your high school decision and say, dang, I should have done something else. Just fucking do it. Like don't feel the pressure from external sources. Cause otherwise, again, you're going to, I don't want to say waste 4 years, but you're going to use them in a way where you probably could have chased a real passion. And I never want that to happen to anyone. So I think there are a ton of possibilities, and I would just encourage players at that age to chase what they really care about, whether that's in basketball, whether that is playing basketball, or whether that's something completely outside of it.
Yeah. And I like how you said it's kind of like now with social media, you could still play basketball even if you don't go to college or go pro, or you could become like a basketball YouTuber. I mean, like that job, if you told me in high school that was a possibility, actually in high school I probably knew it was a possibility, but if you told me when I was really young, what? I could just make videos playing basketball and travel and have fun playing the game and get paid for it. That's awesome.
Bro. Yeah, exactly. And another thing I see often is, in especially internationally, or really only internationally, is like when I went to Europe, when I went to Australia, a lot of these other places, they have like semi-pro leagues for you get 25, 28, 30 year old guys playing ball and taking it really damn seriously. And it's not just a men's league. Like, these dudes train for it. These dudes take it seriously. And I mean, I see that and I admire those players so much, because it's like, look, they have other jobs. Like, they may be following another passion, but they don't see basketball as like college ball, pro ball, or die. They see basketball as what it is. It's a game that can take you a lot of places. Yeah. It can introduce you to a lot of people. It can teach you a lot of lessons. It can be really fucking fun. And if you're able to see it that way, especially from a young age, which is kind of how I saw it, which is like a vehicle to express my passion and to impact the world, I think the possibilities are limitless. But that, again, just kind of takes you insulating yourself from just all the external pressures of everyone telling you, you got to play college, you got to play pro to really have a successful basketball career.
What is your favorite part about owning a gym now? That's kind of like a game changer for a trainer. I mean, that's also like a huge thing. You got your own gym, could have your own setup and everything. And it's kind of like you could schedule your training now whenever you want, in a way. You don't have to, have to reserve gyms, things like that, which is a big deal, I feel like, for trainers.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, I would say you kind of hit the nail on the head with that one. It's just the freedom is unbelievable. Where, again, I'll be bouncing around gyms, outdoor courts, trying to find new places to train. And, I mean, it deterred opportunities for sure. Like, I would have pro players who are like, is there a way to consistently get in the gym? I wouldn't be able to find a gym. Boom, they're on to the next person. So it's like,
yeah.
And it's not just that. It's also youth athletes. It's also events. Mm-hmm. It's content. It's a lot of things where it's just, it kind of, I felt like it was stunting where I could really go. But with that being said, it's a massive undertaking from the business side of things. And it's not something that I think a lot of people consider to be, or I think it's more than a lot of people consider to be on just the daily administrative side of things. Legal side of things, like dealing with all this stuff that really you don't see. And it sounds crazy, but to me, I kind of enjoy that stuff, because while I mean, again, training athletes and basketball players is my main love, I do want to, down the line, kind of flip over to the entrepreneurship, to an entrepreneurship heavy career or path where, you know, I got to learn these things. And one of the easiest ways to do that is just kind of throwing myself into the fire early on in my career at a young age, opening up a gym and then learning how to keep books, hire people, manage a team, talk to consumers on a daily basis, run a bigger scale business. And, you know, again, you don't really get a lot of these things without running a gym or have at least something that is you know, you're working on it daily, you have a team under you, and again, it's tough, but it's something that I really enjoy about it, because these are skills that I find really valuable and I think will really help us as a team grow. And, you know, I just like learning new things and challenging myself, and that's kind of been one of the biggest enjoyments, which is ironic, but definitely an enjoyment so far.
Yeah, I would definitely say right now, without a doubt, you're a great trainer. But I feel like one side you probably don't get enough credit for is like the entrepreneurial side, which I kind of see, and I can see it through. I mean, I can't see the administrative side, but like your marketing style is, it's nice. Like the little things, like color schemes. And I could come by your video and see 1 second of it and know away it's from By Any Means. And the content, it's just, it's insane.
There we go. Good. I'm happy you said that.
Because I don't know, I feel like you deserve more credit on the entrepreneurial side, because a lot of it is really good.
No, I appreciate that, bro. No, I mean, and that's, again, like what you said about you can see 1 second and understand it's one of my videos is huge, because one of the big things that I've always been a believer in is just kind of branding yourself and doing it in a way that's cohesive. And, you know, there's always room for trial and error, but I do think that I've kind of been able to build a brand and a decent one, and the more that we're able to strengthen it and just make it recognizable to people around the world or whatever, that's huge. So that's always great to hear.
And I bet it makes it a lot easier now that you have a gym and kind of like you can put your own stuff up around the gym. Like I know you have a couple of the banners, like the Mastery Hoops and all that stuff. So I bet it makes it a lot easier. But even when you didn't have the gym, when I was seeing your content, it was still like the same. I could still tell that, like, oh, that's from By Any Means and things like that. Right. I remember a lot of the time you would do videos at Koa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was the in at Koa? Unless it's like if you're like kind of putting someone out there, but what was like the in to get in there? Because that's a nice gym.
No, honestly, I just paid for it. So it was like, and that's, I mean, that kind of brings up an interesting topic that I don't really talk about much, is like, I would literally just pay to go film content in the gym. And I still do that at times, like when I'm elsewhere. Usually I can find a gym, but if I have to pay someone to go get in and film content, I feel like that's worth it. And a lot of people don't see that as like having much return on investment. But for me, it's like, you still remember that content.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people do because of that. Like, even though I was technically going in the negative to pay to get into a gym, the content kind of builds up the brand in its own sense. And, you know, I filmed programs in there. I filmed a lot of stuff that eventually came around to just indirectly or directly make money. And so, yeah, I mean, it was crazy simple, bro. It was just like, yo, how can I get in here late at night? I mean, I would be in there till fucking 3 a.m. as I have like a lot of gyms, because that's the only time when nobody else is in there. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let's get this done.
I like how you mentioned the programs, because I really like the virtual programs and kind of like how you pay that fee and then you get workouts and things like that. But my question along with that is, you have all these different avenues through By Any Means. And I think I saw in like your day in the life video that you got like a pretty big team now. So what was that evolution and that progress toward building a team around you and kind of expanding the different avenues and what was that like?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it really started when I opened up the gym and I knew it wouldn't be possible, but I was like, all right, let's see how far I can go without paying other people to help me out, which is very naive. But at the time, I was like, all right, shit, let's see. And that didn't work out. So very quickly, very, very, very quickly, I figured it would be important to just bring people on the team. I'm a huge believer in just having a good circle around you to bounce ideas off of. And I already have that just with, like, you know, my friends who I've had for a long time and my family. Yep. But it's different when you have people around you on a day-to-day basis and they're a part of a bigger mission, and that's how they make money too. Because I can't go to my friends and be like, yo, I need advice on this, and like, buddy, I'm worried about my own job. Like, fuck out of here. So that's,
for sure.
That's kind of when I realized it. And at first I was a little bit reluctant because it's like a lot of people, I feel like, don't see basketball trainer, even a gym, as like a scalable business, where that's one of my big goals is to treat it like a business where, you know, I could be taking a lot more money out of the business than I do right now. Like, clearly I don't live that lavish right now, but what we try to do is invest that money into people who do things better than I do, who can really, again, be kind of a sounding board for me as like a business owner, as kind of a team. And that's helped me a ton. I mean, we have a content creator full-time, marketing and operations full-time. And then I have two part-time at the gym. And also I got Josh, who helps out just kind of with brand partnerships and stuff like that. He's a little bit more like time to time, but he's you know, someone who I can always reach out to about just advice on business. So I think that has helped me just kind of build out or fill in areas that I wasn't really filling up myself. And, you know, that's helped a lot of things take off. I think we really put the team together like early this year, so like January 2022, and then now 2022 has kind of taken off. And hopefully, you know, without just arbitrarily building a team to a, you know, because we can, but hopefully we can build it up to a point where you know, I'm giving more people opportunities. That's another cool thing about it is that I'm able to help other people live a, you know, comfortable life through doing what they love to do. And that's, you know, that is motivation for me, and also motivates me to continue to build that team and continue to build our operations moving forward. But it's been huge.
Yeah. And I like how you mentioned the kind of scaling the business, because I feel like that's one thing I feel like you're really good at. When I look at a bunch of other personal trainers or basketball trainers, they're kind of limited because they can't scale it, because obviously you're trading your time for money. And the scaling part's a little difficult unless you have that social media presence like you have, and on YouTube, Instagram, and the other routes, and maybe like the virtual programs. So what was maybe your mindset of how to scale personal training in a way, if that makes sense?
Yeah, for sure. So that's a topic that I could go on for days, mainly because we're trying to figure it out right now. Like, it's scalable, and it has been scalable in the sense of like, we can try new things. We can do programs, we can do camps in other countries. We can do open up a gym and have people come into the gym. Most people that come into the gym aren't coming from, by any means, to be honest. A lot of it's just local stuff, but I mean, we have a shit ton of people who come in through that. And that's kind of been the cool part to see, is how many avenues we can take with that platform. But on the flip side of that coin, it's like, if I want to scale any more, people are familiar with my personal brand. So that's like, you know, as we're on the road to opening up more gyms now in other parts of the country and the world, the question is like, all right, I'm not going to be there clearly 24/7, let alone, you know, or 6 months out of the year, let alone 24/7. So how are we going to build the quality and the image of the brand without having me as the face at all times, but still being able to use myself, the brand that we've built, as kind of a springboard for that. So it's kind of a balance that we're trying to strike right now, and it's tough. But I do think the big thing about just overall building a brand as a trainer, whether it's a personal trainer, basketball trainer, strength and conditioning, other sports, is just understanding that there's, you know, there's a lot more to it than, like you said, trading your time for money. Because if you're always trading your time for money, it's going to be tough to really get to. Exactly. There's only so far you can get. So I think that's the big thing to understand for a lot of people, is like, try to find ways that could be opening a facility, that could be virtual training, but it could also be a lot of other things. It could be consulting, it could be putting out online resources, it could be really getting creative and building just a brand out of it. Like, there are a lot of ways you can go with it, but I think the first step is kind of eliminating that mindset of, hour is this price. Let me see how many hours I can do to make the most money.
Yeah. And I like how you mentioned the personal brand part and kind of trying to detach yourself from it. I think that's something like influencers and people with these big personal brands, it's not easy. It's kind of like you have to kind of find a way to where it becomes more of a business where you could step away and not have to be there, like you said, to keep it moving, keep it growing. What are some ways you think that you're trying to do that, or maybe what steps are you taking to get there? What would you say?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think one thing is bringing good people on board. So whether it's like some of the guys that we have at the gym right now or ones that we plan to bring on board later, it's making sure that by any means eventually becomes not just me or detail, like our gym, mainly detail, becomes not just me, but other really fucking good trainers. And I mean, whatever comes with that, but primarily trainers.
Yeah.
Who also can be respected at the same level as me in terms of knowledge, in terms of accomplishments, et cetera. And that's tough. But I do think that takes me just pouring a lot of effort and time into people. And that's something that I'm really working on now, is whether it's some of the guys that we already have at the gym or ones that, again, we're kind of planning to bring on a little bit down the road, whether we open up other gyms or whatever, is making sure that I'm helping them educate, but also just kind of consulting them every step along the way in terms of like how to build their own personal brand and how to get to a point where, again, they're respected maybe even more than me. And that's shit. I would be amazed and happy if that was the case. If we had a team of people who, you know, were respected at an even higher level than myself, because then I did something right and business becomes more scalable. So I think that's number one, is just investing in people and investing in the team. And then I think number two is like showing that it's a little bit more of, so it's not just me making a global impact, but it is the team. It is like a gym. It is showing all the factors or the components behind just me. Because again, I think if it's just me saying, "Hey guys, look at me, like this is, I do everything here." Like number one, I'd be fucking lying. Number two, it works for a little bit because you get a little bit of fame and you get a little bit of like recognition, and then it's like, all right, where do you go from here? And I think a lot of influencers struggle with that. A lot of them don't. A lot of them make billions off of just them. But I know as a basketball trainer, nobody cares about basketball trainers enough to make billions of dollars off your personal brand. So I got to be able to build a business around that. And then if anything, I build a personal brand, you know, kind of adjacent to that or whatever. But I think those are the big keys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always like asking entrepreneurs when they have like a team built, who was your first hire, or who was kind of the type of person you were looking for as your first hire? That person that you needed kind of to
come in. For sure. So I knew that I needed a content creator, an assistant trainer or somebody to help me with training, and then somebody to help me market and operate things on kind of the back end side of things. So my guy Davis was technically my first hire, so he came in doing marketing and basketball training, which was clutch because I just kind of killed two birds with one stone. That was big. And then after that was my guy Cam, who's my content creator now. But I mean, in terms of what I was looking for, is number one, somebody who can wear multiple hats just like that. Yeah. Like, I didn't have the money. I still don't have the money to pay someone who truly specializes just yet. That's the goal, is to be able to pay someone who's really good at, like, you know, that 2% of the business, and you pay them a shit ton for that and they really feel that. But as a smaller business, like, everyone's going to have to wear multiple hats. Everyone's going to be kind of playing multiple roles at once, which is okay for me at first. So somebody who's not only, or not only good at that, but also willing to do that and come in on a daily basis and have to be a different person and a different job each day, have a different job description each day. And then someone who just kind of sees the long-term vision. Like, I don't want someone who comes in and is just, you know, oh, let me make this quick money. It's cool because I get to work at a gym and kind of hang out in the gym all day. It's like, no, you got to see the long-term vision. You got to see what we can do with this, because we want to do some cool stuff with it. And hopefully you're intrigued by that vision, and I wouldn't hire anyone who's not intrigued to the fullest by that vision. And you know, when you pair that with somebody who's willing to develop new skills and wear multiple hats, I think that's been good so far. And it's, you know, again, it's really helped out just grow the business as a whole rather than just in certain spots and pockets.
So just trying to get like a couple guys that are like Swiss Army knives and kind of could hit a couple different things. And then as it goes, maybe getting people more specialized.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so, even those guys, like, you know, the ones that I have on board right now, I want to make sure that they can specialize in what they want to specialize in more as we go. Like my content creator, Cam, right now, he does a lot in terms of just like, the dude will literally train, like, if I'm on the road, I'll be like, Cam, go coach these guys up. Like, I mean, that's kind of, you know, a passion project per se, but, you know, he'll be giving advice on how to get some shit painted in the gym. Like, again, there's just a lot of kind of jobs that everyone's doing right now. But again, if he can focus on just what he wants to focus on, and my other team members can focus on exactly what they want to focus on, and everyone kind of not only is able to do their job to the best of their ability, but have more fun with it. So that is the goal, just to kind of narrow it as we go.
Yeah. So what takes up majority of your mind space, you would say, in terms of by any means? Like, what are the things that day-to-day you're worried about most in terms of growing the business, running the business and things?
Yeah, so I think number one is trying not to, and this has never been a problem because I love the craft so much, but making sure that I continue to understand that as my knowledge grows about training, like, the business will grow because I get better at what I do, people get better results, the business grows. So making sure that that's still even 1A to like 1B being the business stuff. And then on the actual business side of things, it really fluctuates, man. Like, there'll be times where I'm just like, you know what? Like, today I didn't even think about posting a piece of content because I was focused on getting like some legal stuff figured out and figuring out logistics for one of our next trips, and then figuring some stuff out of the gym. So I think there's a bunch of kind of different buckets, and like, they get filled up multiple times, which is good and bad because it allows me to kind of vary what I'm doing and have fun with that. But then it's like, I'll forget about one thing for a couple of days. I'm like, oh shit, I got to go back to this. But I do think it's mainly content and just putting out, you know, the top notch, the most top notch content I can, because everything kind of builds off that. And then extension, just like our programs, promoting those. The gym, which is just making sure our operations at the gym are running really smoothly. You know, whether that's getting new clients, retaining clients, making sure everyone, all the team members are happy, all that stuff. And then it's kind of the expansion part of that, where it's like, where can we travel? Who can we bring in internationally to help other people see Miami and train with us? And then where can we expand to next in terms of like gyms or something like that? So then it's kind of the global aspect of that. So I'll say between those three buckets, that kind of takes up most of my mind space on the entrepreneurship side. You just pouring a lot of effort and time into people. And that's something that I'm really working on now, is whether it's some of the guys that we already have at the gym or ones that, again, we're kind of planning to bring on a little bit down the road, whether we open up other gyms or whatever, is making sure that I'm helping them educate, but also just kind of consulting them every step along the way in terms of like, how to build their own personal brand and how to get to a point where, again, they're respected maybe even more than me. And that's I would be amazed and happy if that was the case. If we had a team of people who, you know, were respected at an even higher level than myself, because then I did something right and business becomes more scalable. So I think that's number one, is just investing in people and investing in the team. And then I think number two is like showing that it's a little bit more of, so it's not just me making a global impact, but it is a team. It is like a gym. It is showing all the factors or the components behind just me. Because again, I think if it's just me saying, hey guys, look at me, like, this is, I do everything here. Like, number one, I'd be fucking lying. Number two, it works for a little bit because you get a little bit of fame and you get a little bit of like recognition, and then it's like, all right, where do you go from here? And I think a lot of influencers struggle with that. A lot of them don't. A lot of them make billions off of just them. But I know as a basketball trainer, nobody cares about basketball trainers enough to make billions of dollars off your personal brand. Mm-hmm. So I got to be able to build a business around that. And then if anything, I build a personal brand, you know, kind of adjacent to that or whatever. But I think those are the big keys.
Yeah. And I always like asking entrepreneurs when they have like a team built, who was your first hire, or who was kind of the type of person you were looking for as your first hire, that person that you needed kind of to come
in? For sure. So I knew that I needed a content creator, an assistant trainer or somebody to help me with training, and then somebody to help me market and operate things on kind of the back end side of things. So my guy Davis was technically my first hire. So he came in doing marketing and basketball training, which was clutch because I just kind of killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
That was big. And then after that was my guy Cam, who's my content creator now. But I mean, in terms of what I was looking for, is number one, somebody who can wear multiple hats just like that.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have the money. I still don't have the money to pay someone who truly specializes just yet. That's the goal, is to be able to pay someone who's really good at, like, you know, that 2% of the business, and you pay them a shit ton for that, and they really feel that. But as a smaller business, like, everyone's going to have to wear multiple hats. Everyone's going to be kind of playing multiple roles at once, which is okay for me at first. So somebody who's not only not only good at that, but also willing to do that and come in on a daily basis and have to be a different person and a different job each day, have a different job description each day. And then someone who just kind of sees the long-term vision. Like, I don't want someone who comes in and is just, you know, oh, let me make this quick money. It's cool because I get to work at a gym and kind of hang out in the gym all day. It's like, no, you got to see the long-term vision. You got to see what we can do with this, because we want to do some cool stuff with it. And hopefully you're intrigued by that vision. And I wouldn't hire anyone who's not intrigued to the fullest by that vision. And, you know, when you pair that with somebody who's willing to develop new skills and wear multiple hats, I think that's been good so far. And it's, you know, again, it's really helped out just grow the business as a whole rather than just in certain spots and pockets.
So just trying to get like a couple guys that are like Swiss Army knives and kind of could hit a couple different things. And then as it goes, maybe getting people more specialized.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so, then even those guys, like, you know, the ones that I have on board right now, I want to make sure that they can specialize in what they want to specialize in more as we go. Like my content creator, Cam, right now, he does a lot in terms of just like, the dude will literally train, like, if I'm on the road, I'll be like, Cam, go coach these guys up. Like, I mean, that's kind of, you know, a passion project per se, but, you know, he'll be giving advice on how to get some shit painted in the gym. Like, again, there's just a lot of kind of jobs that everyone's doing right now. But again, if he can focus on just what he wants to focus on, and my other team members can focus on exactly what they want to focus on, and everyone kind of not only is able to do their job to the best of their ability, but have more fun with it. So that is the goal, just kind of narrow it as we go.
Yeah. So what takes up majority of your mind space, you would say, in terms of by any means? Like, what are the things that day-to-day you're worried about most in terms of growing the business, running the business and things?
Yeah, so I think number one is trying not to, and this has never been a problem because I love the craft so much, but making sure that I continue to understand that as my knowledge grows about training, like, the business will grow because I get better at what I do, people get better results, the business grows. So making sure that that's still even 1A to like 1B being the business stuff. And then on the actual business side of things, it really fluctuates, man. Like, there'll be times where I'm just like, you know what? Like, today, I didn't even think about posting a piece of content because I was focused on getting like some legal stuff figured out and figuring out logistics for one of our next trips, and then figuring some stuff out of the gym. So I think there's a bunch of kind of different buckets, and like, they get filled up multiple times, which is good and bad because it allows me to kind of vary what I'm doing and have fun with that. But then it's like, I'll forget about one thing for a couple of days. I'm like, oh shit, I got to go back to this. But I do think it's mainly content and just putting out, you know, the top notch, the most top notch content I can, because everything kind of builds off that. And then extension, just like our programs, promoting those. The gym, which is just making sure our operations at the gym are running really smoothly. You know, whether that's getting new clients, retaining clients, making sure everyone, all the team members are happy, all that stuff. And then it's kind of the expansion part of that, where it's like, where can we travel? Who can we bring in internationally to help other people see Miami and train with us? And then where can we expand to next in terms of like gyms or something like that? So then it's kind of the global aspect of that. So I'll say between those three buckets, that kind of takes up most of my mind space on the entrepreneurship side.
What would you say you're best at training at? Like, what do you kind of hang your hat on where it's like, that's me, that's what I'm best at? Like, maybe ball handling, shooting, things like that.
Yeah, I would say that's a really good question. I would say it's very individualized. Like, I kind of try to keep it even, but I would say the biggest thing to me is like decision making and like transfer to the game. I mean by that is like a lot of players will come in and just be like, yeah, I feel like a lot of my training isn't transferring to the game. A lot of what we do is like kind of live, unique work that to me has really helped players put that straight into the game, which is, you know, I mean, that seems to me to be one of the most important things. So I think that's probably my main thing, is like just bridging the gap between training and the game. But I do think recently I would say I've had the most success with just helping players become a lot more fluid, and whether that's moving, that's dribbling, that's, you know, just helping them become a lot more fluid athletes. And then because of that, whether you want to call it more shifty, whether you want to call it just a better ball handler in general, I would say ball handling has become one of my bigger focuses. But it always goes ups and down, like as with anything. I'm like, for a month, I'm like, all right, I'm getting crazy results with shooting right now, and then kind of waves up and down from there. So that's typically what I would say.
I really like some of your like unorthodox training, like some of the content you put out, like the ones where maybe you're pushing someone in the back and they gotta like do a finish or drive off of that. Or I saw the one where you're running diagonal on hills and things. I really like the one where you're training the jump passes, where it's like a lot of coaches are like, don't do jump passes, but it's also like that happens in a game. I mean, it's going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I really like the unorthodox kind of training styles you have. So what are some of those like hidden gems, the different workouts and things that players you would recommend to start doing?
Yeah, so I would say, it's funny because I don't think players work out with other players enough. Like when I was in high school and college, whatever, like I would always try to go to the gym by myself because I felt like it was when I locked in best, which is fair. But at the same time, like I think most players should start training a little bit more with others so that they can read the play, so that they can get used to shooting with the contest, that they can get used to getting buckets on a defender. So a lot of it is like really just putting skills into like live situations. And then a lot of it is also just implementing like performance or strength training concepts into the basketball court. So kind of reverse engineering like how athletes move and then applying that onto the court. So that's stuff where like, I don't know, I'll have a player that could be like a ball handling one, that could be a player going up and touching the net and then finishing from there, where people are like, why the hell are you doing that? And that's like, to me, I'm seeing like the body control of it, like getting comfortable in different footworks with a 2-foot takeoff, just seeing kind of an external stimulus that we're reaching up and trying to touch and finish. So I think a lot of, I mean, my first, I do both the strength and conditioning and basketball skill side of things, but I started really with the strength and conditioning, and that's what I have my degree in. So I think seeing a lot of basketball skills through that lens has helped me kind of develop some of these things. And I mean, I could go on for days about just certain methods to use, and I come up with new ones every day, probably too many of them, but there's thousands of them. So it's but I would say those are kind of like the umbrellas that they typically will fall under.
Okay. And I do like the marketing with like the microscope and things, more of like a science-based style, like approaching training. I really like that. Yeah. Does that come from maybe, because I'm guessing you did like kinesiology or exercise science in college?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I did exercise physiology. So definitely comes from that.
Uh-huh. Okay. And do you see a lot of players kind of neglect the strength and conditioning side? I know basketball players probably a ton. I wasn't one of those just because I liked watching, I watched Bradley Martin and things. So I like the bodybuilding side of it and kind of just getting big. Not the strength and conditioning as much, but you know what I mean? But do you think a lot of players neglect that? Sure.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think the whole rumor is that basketball players hate the weight room, and it's true. I mean, again, there's truth in every stereotype. I do have some players that enjoy it. I do have some players that see the value in it, so they don't complain about it. And then I have a bunch that complain. But I have a bunch that complain about doing it with their teams. But I would say they don't usually complain as much about doing it with me because, I mean, I don't want to lie and say that I don't get those. You're like, yo, can we just get on the court today? But I do think when I help athletes see, like, the benefit in it and make it a little bit more applicable to the game, they start to see where it will come into play. I make it a little bit more engaging for them. I have them compete in the weight room, and we just kind of create an environment that, you know, players want to get in the gym or in the weight room a little bit more. Yeah. And so I've found that, like, in our gym at least, it's not a crazy separation between the two. But in general, basketball players hate the weight room for sure.
And that's got to be, like, a killer combo to have with a trainer where someone – who could is great on the basketball side and the strength and conditioning side. Because I know when I was in high school, even college, a lot of the lifts we did were just like basic, like bench 135 as many times as you can for like three sets. It was like not really, it's like you said, it wasn't applicable to the game. And I think a lot of it is because maybe the person who's running the strength and conditioning isn't the one running the basketball training. So it's kind of like they're not working together to mesh those two together. So it must be killer to have knowledge in both of those and being able to put them together.
Yeah, man. No, I mean, I think it's definitely helped me just see better results with players and help the players because, again, I'm able to kind of create a synergy between the two. Mm-hmm. So not only do they get better, but they just get a little bit more buy-in because it's like they eventually, or at least they leave the weight room kind of understanding why we did most things. And that gets them coming back when they see how that's applying to the court rather than just like, all right, how is this bench press like affecting how I play? I know down the line I'll get a little bigger. It's going to help, but like I don't need to get big. I'm a basketball player. So
yeah,
it's definitely helped. It's been good.
What are some underrated workouts in the weight room for basketball players, you would say?
I would say training everything below the knee. So ankle, Achilles. Anything with like extensive plyometrics or just higher rep plyometrics where you're not going as hard as like 50-60% effort, you're not getting high off the ground, you're just building the quality of the structure and again that kind of foot and ankle complex. So I think that's big. I think a lot of players get hurt because they don't target that enough in a structured sense. I think isometrics are great. And I could go on again for days about this one, but just loading up without having to really tax yourself is tax yourself to the same level as some other exercise is huge. So this is good for tendon health. It's good also just for getting explosive in certain ranges of motion. So I think isometrics of a bunch of different forms are amazing. And then I think things that are trying to, because I could go on for days. I'm trying to think about a third one. I would say things that are based on coordination and fluidity, and then adding in some like load to that. So like we would do, I don't know, maybe something that's like kind of a tough movement for you to pick down, but you have a med ball and you're kind of throwing it and having to time that up perfectly. So now you're not only getting strong, but you're doing that in a way that's kind of brought into coordination and timing and fluidity, and a lot of this I found at least applies pretty directly to the court. where a lot of these things are big. You got to be strong. You got to be able to handle and produce force. And, you know, it's kind of a good combo for working on all those things. So I would say those three things are big, underrated qualities to train.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of players maybe don't see the injury prevention side of getting in the weight room also, which is huge for just keeping yourself healthy and on the court.
Yeah, bro. No, I think a lot of players only see it as from like a number one. Some players just see it from like getting bigger standpoint, and you're just like, bro, trust me, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Number two, which is great. Like I like helping players gain muscle, but it's like most of them are just like, bro, look at KD. He's skinny. Like, all right, you're not KD. Anyways, they either see it as that. They see it as just getting stronger and faster, which again is good, and some players are incentivized by that. Most are. But I think the third part that helps even more of a majority or even more of a percentage of players get in tune with it and bought into it is injury prevention. Because every hooper is always dealing with something. And when you pitch it like, yo, this is going to help you, and then you actually show them results and they're feeling pretty good, like typically they're going to stick with it.
Yeah. I've seen some of the videos of you doing – this is like a workout I've never done, but doing like ball handling drills without a ball. So like kind of the motions and things. I've never tried it. It looks cool and looks like it would be beneficial, but I'm wondering what's like a weird workout where when you first saw it, you're like, oh, I don't know if that would really do much. And then you tried it and you're like, oh my God, this is like, why are not more people doing this?
I think that may be a good example of it. I can't remember where I saw that the first time. But I kind of took that. I mean, at first, again, like you were saying, I was like, oh, what the hell is that? But then I kind of took it and ran with it and started to come up with my own things. And I was like, yo, this is cool. Because I do think there's a lot of value in working on training the movement behind the ball handling. Because, again, you could have the best handles or ball control in the world. If you can't move, you can't get by anyone, you can't cover ground, like it's not going to work out. So I think training that, I can't remember where I saw it from, but I remember that being my initial reaction as well. And I just started to apply it and I was like, oh shit, it's pretty cool stuff here. So that's definitely one of them.
And I think I saw in one of the videos you did like ball handling to a beat almost, or like put a song on and just like freestyle to the beat. I really like that too. I think to me, a lot of ball handling, like you see all these weird ball handling drills, like two ball, three ball. It's like, what's the point of that? But to me, it's almost like just getting comfortable with the ball in your hand. That's to me, that's like a big part of ball handling. Just like all these crazy drills might look like you can't use them, but you're just more comfortable with the ball in your hand. That's what's most important.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100%. So yeah, it's all those drills, the rhythm ones, it's what it comes down to. Just getting comfortable with the ball and then moving with the ball in your hand, with rhythm, with timing, with coordination, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So then this is like a way out there question. I'm just from like left field. If you had to build the perfect player, who would it be? Like, let's say you could take ball handling from Kyrie, another thing from another player.
Okay.
Build the perfect player, what would it be?
Hey, the way that dude Victor, the French guy Victor, is looking, it's been crazy to see. I would say, I mean, clearly height, whoever the hell the tallest. I wouldn't even say the tallest guy, because at some point it just gets unrealistic. Probably like KD height.
Okay.
Kyrie, I would say Kyrie handles. I mean, it's not a unique answer, but
yeah,
I mean, we all know where Kyrie
is. It's the right answer though. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I could try to be weird with it, or I could just try to be right. I mean, Steph shooting defensively would be an interesting one for me, because like, what style defensively do you want? I would go with like a Drew Holiday, where feel like Drew is pretty good at preserving his energy, whereas like, you know, I'm a huge Marcus Smart fan, to be honest, but I feel like when you have a player of that offensive talent, it's like you need somebody who can kind of preserve their energy a little bit. Drew is consistently like, you know, pretty damn up there in terms of offensive players, in terms of the point guard rank. So I'd say like a Drew Holiday defensive style.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, mindset would have to be mindset would be an interesting one because there's just so many different types of mindsets. Like,
yeah,
you got the Kobe mindset, you got like the Steph mindset where it's killer, like people underrate how much of a killer Steph is, but it's like the more free flowing kind of playful one. So I always kind of like the Steph mindset, just kind of like go out there, have fun and kill everyone while doing it. So I'll take that one, but you couldn't go wrong with anyone else. That's a really good topic. I like that.
nice. Okay. Who's your NBA team? Who's your favorite team? Is it Wizards?
I don't have one, man. Nah.
Not home team.
I mean, I'm not against the Wizards, but it's like, you know, it was kind of growing up like, oh, Gilbert Arenas, he's cool. Oh shit, it's already over. And then it was like that weird period between like there and John Wall where I was like, all right, I'm gonna just go find like players to like. So I grew up kind of, I mean, KD's from DC, so I was like, all right, let me just rock with KD. I was a Thunder fan for a little bit. I grew up kind of watching Steph because it was just like shooter. You know, unathletic, little did I realize how athletic the guy was. But just so exciting to watch. So, like, eventually kind of, I don't even want to say I became a Warriors fan, but just more of, like, just a fan of their style of play and Steph. Mm-hmm. And then when KD went to the Warriors, it was like, I can't really be a fan because it's, like, bandwagon. Yeah. But I'm watching all the games and stuff because they got my two favorite players. I watched Chris Paul a lot even earlier. I'll say that was, like, my first favorite player. So I've jumped around. Not teams, but more so just like watching players and watching basketball.
Yeah. I can't even say anything, honestly, because I don't like the Wizards a ton either. I was in that same spot as like they had the Caron Butler, Gilbert Arenas, and Jameson time, and then it was nothing, and then got John Wall, and I was already on another team. So,
What's your team?
My team, I really like the Celtics. I really like that 2008 team because Rondo was my guy. I loved Rondo. Yeah. I remember, I forgot which playoff game it was, but I remember he like hurt his elbow, came back in the game, and then threw a dime, got some nice moves, some nice points, and then that was like the peak of when I liked the Celtics. I don't remember what year that was. It might have been 2009. But yeah, I would have to say Celtics. But now I'm becoming more of a player fan, for sure, like you, probably. Sure. Who are your favorite players right now to watch?
I would say Luka, Steph. I'm trying to think of the players who, like, when there's a game on, I'll always watch.
Yeah.
I would say once it gets playoff time, LeBron, just because it's like you got to respect how good he kind of flips that switch, and it's LeBron. KD is clearly one of my favorites. I love watching Kyrie play, but just it's frustrating, like, the inconsistency, so... So I'd say like Luka, Steph, KD, Bron, playoff time, and then there are a lot of just kind of underrated guys that I'm trying to think of right now, but it's definitely slipping the mind that it's just like there'll be young guys who I turn on, I'm like, oh, this is like Jordan Poole's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But he kinda blew up recently anyways.
Yeah.
SGA is really fun to watch. So I think there are a lot of young players who are just like, you know, I've spent so much time just analyzing basketball where I just like turning on the TV sometimes and just being like, yo, this is good ass basketball right here.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of young players that are coming to the league like that.
Mm-hmm. And what was your favorite YouTube video you did? The attention to detail videos. What was your favorite player you did one on, you would say?
Oh my God, that's tough.
I know, that's a tough one. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Nah, you're good. All right, I'm gonna throw a curveball on this. I made it wasn't a single player, but it was a defensive breakdown, like how to become a lockdown defender or something. And I, like, through making that video, learned so much about defense that it kind of set me off on, like, not only just learning more and understanding more about defensive techniques, but also kind of a passion for it as well. Because I feel like not many trainers especially focus on defense and, like, individual component of it. So that was, like, I mean, it's gotten, I think, one of my top three highest views, which is funny because, like, who's looking for defense on YouTube? I guess people are. So, I don't know. It kind of set me off on a nice path of just, like, really enjoying researching and applying defense and enjoying it, which I never really did. So,
yeah.
I would say that was probably the favorite video.
Nice, nice. That is a curveball. I wasn't expecting a defensive side of the game.
There we go.
I feel like that's one thing when I was playing, all the trainers I worked out with, a lot of, we never really went through, like, we never spent a whole day on defense. That was never a thing.
No.
I feel like from coaches you'd always hear, I don't know if it's a thing anymore because I haven't played in like 2 years, but it would always be like, either you want to play defense or you don't. That's it. It's not like,
they always say
it's just a passion or energy thing or how much effort you put into it, which is like, I don't think it's really like that, you know. There's a lot, a good amount of skill into it also. What are some of the little things that you would recommend for good defense, the people who want to get better on defense?
Yeah, bro. So I think, number one, it's like passion and will and effort 100% come into play. But when we attribute it to just that, I think we limit ourselves because like there's a lot of skill, like you mentioned. So then we don't even work on the skill. And then we assume that when somebody's not a great defender, that they're not trying hard. When in reality, they may just not have the skill or the physical quality. Yeah. So I think number one is just training the physical qualities of it, which is a little bit tougher to explain. But that's more so like the weight room side of things, quick first step laterally, being able to move and like even cross your feet over. A lot of time we get taught not to cross our feet over when we probably need to on that first step, or kind of sprint with that offensive player. Anyway, so I think that's first is like training the physical qualities. But then there's also a lot of skills, like you mentioned, anticipation. So being able to kind of pick up on what that offensive player is going to do before they even do it and beat them to that spot. Angles, like when you do get beat, what angle are you going to take to cut them off? Timing, like when do you reach in for a steal? When do you meet the defender to ensure it's not a foul? So again, there are a lot of things, whether it's angles, timing, like the movement of it. There's so much that comes into it that not only just comes with experience, but we can target in our training. And again, I don't think a lot of it is targeted. So I literally drop like a full defensive program. It's like 3 months, and it actually did pretty well, which I was surprised about. But I think it's something where people are kind of craving more because they're tired of just being like, you know, the kid who tries hard on defense, but still can't seem to put it together. And I think, you know, hopefully that's helped a lot of people. And just like putting out content on that topic, because I do think it's something that we can work on and something that deserves time in our training.
I really love whenever you talk about the like unorthodox style of training. I feel like a broken record, but like the little things like crossing your feet on defense sometimes, where it's like so many different things where coaches are like, never do that ever, and things where it's like, I really like how you break it down and you're kind of like, that's, you don't want to do it all the time, but like there's a time and place where you got to do some of these unorthodox things. Man, I just had to say, I really like that. What are some of the unorthodox things that you would want to break in terms of like in basketball culture, like how they're coached? What are some other ones like that you would say? I know that's a tough one, Kyle. You got to like dig deep for that one.
Yeah, one's conditioning. It's like the sense of like everything has to be like suicide 17. Yeah. It's like, no, like why not condition more like we do in the game, like with reaction, with some skills, with moving in multiple directions, multiple ways. So I think conditioning is one. One is like the idea that there's one perfect shooting technique. Like there's not. Yeah. We've seen shooters. Every single shooter shoots a different form. Every single great shooter shoots a different form. And when we try to converge players into like the Klay Thompson technique, maybe that doesn't work for them. Yeah. Maybe that's not how they grow up shooting. Maybe they don't have long enough arms or short enough arms. Or you know, there's so many things that go into that. So that's another one. And then I would say like the third one is just in terms of an approach to training is like that everything has to be just like super boring and repetitive and monotonous. Yeah. Where there's a time for that, just getting up reps and reps and reps. But I do think a lot of it can be engaging and even fun, and approaching training that way can not only help players learn and get better results, but also just have more longevity because they come into the gym looking forward to it rather than just like, all right, here we go. I'm going to get my 1,000 shots and get out. So I'll say those are three big things that I've been focusing on recently.
And what's your take on training time. Like, you know how sometimes trainers will be like I'm a big person on this, at least with the strength and conditioning side, where you don't need to be in the gym for 3 hours or two hours. Like, you don't need to be doing that. You could get a good workout in like 40, 45 minutes. What's your take with that? Because I know the basketball side is a little different maybe. So what's your take with that? Maybe give me a little bit of the strength and conditioning side and the basketball training side, if you can.
Yeah, so usually what I'll do is, on average, I would say it's about 45 minutes in strength and conditioning side of things, and then 45 minutes to an hour on the basketball side of things. Usually an hour.
Okay.
Actually, I'll say this, 45 and 45, and then later on in the day, it'll be like a lighter workout, like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, just getting reps. So we'll go like, if I have one of my players who I'm working with consistently, college, pro guy, whatever, we'll go weight room for 45 minutes, step onto the court, or vice versa, but usually that way. Onto the court, 45 minutes of really intense targeted work, sometimes up to an hour, oftentimes up to an hour, but I think between that 45 and hour works. And just really going at it then. And then I'll be like, all right, you can come back and get shots up, or get your like kind of feel good repetitions, or maybe get a lighter workout with certain, some of the things that you want to work on. But I would say overall, in terms of total training time, I usually wouldn't pass like 2.5 hours a day. And that kind of is like 45 plus 45, or 45 plus an hour plus another 45. You know, that's usually enough for to get good results and to have that longevity over the course of an off season.
I'm also wondering, so we haven't touched a lot on it, but you have Grow the Game Hoops, where you're able to travel to all these different locations and things and coach and do these camps. I have a feeling where like it must be, that must be like a really rewarding part of By Any Means and things, because I know a good amount of it is like through social media and the content and programs and things. So what is the feeling like being able to go to other countries and coach and see these kids and how much they love basketball and want to get better? What is that whole experience like whenever you go to these other places?
Yeah, man, it's amazing. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Number one is just like you said, seeing young players, but also older ones and coaches, and just an entire diverse crowd of people who are kind of in one place and have one similar passion, and then how much they are coming out for the same reason, which is just like to express their love for the game, get better, and doing it, you know, thousands of miles away from America, which is where we typically consider to be like the big basketball Mecca, place. And in reality, like, there are a lot of people that hoop and they love hoop more than us, you know, Americans in the world. So that's number one. Number two is just like being able to see all the people who are familiar with the brand is is unreal. Like the fact that people want to come up to me randomly and ask for pictures and autographs and like ask questions and do all this stuff. It's like, it's unreal to me that you know, I'm 23 years old, able to make such an impact on people. But you know, it's a testament to not only the work that I've put in, but you know, how much people love basketball because they're willing to absorb such content and and resources. So that's two, and then also three is just kind of being able to see the world. Like that's one thing I'm literally addicted to, is just like seeing the world, not only seeing the world, but like learning from other cultures and and meeting people that I can then learn from, take things from, and apply them back into my own life, and just becoming a more aware person has become huge and has matured me a lot, because I'm able to see how other people live and that the States isn't the only thing that's out there. I think a lot of us grow up in the States just like without understanding that like the world's a pretty damn big place. People have crazy different traditions that could be a lot better than what we do in the States. And I'm just like, oh shit, maybe I want to live that European lifestyle. Maybe I want to take some of this slang from like Australia. Maybe I want to do this, do that. And, you know, I think you get out of the comfort zone a little bit, and every single trip I go on, I'm like a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious, like it's going to a whole new place, maybe working through language barriers. And I come back and it's just like very rewarding because I've kind of pushed through that. And a lot of these trips are tough because there's just an unbelievable amount of work and traveling. Like Australia was 24, 26 hours of travel there, and then like 6 hour camps most days, and then come back, same thing. And it's just like, it's a grind, but it's also so worth it when you get back and you've kind of pushed through and you've met people and learned stuff. So it's been crazy, man. I would say that's definitely been the highlight of my year this year, is just being able to travel to, like, I think it's 12, 13 different countries right now in 2022. So it's been amazing, and definitely a long time coming with all like the people who have reached out to me for years. And now I finally get to like meet people who have been supporting since day one. It's been a really dope experience.
Yeah, that's big time. Also, how much time do you have? Like, is there a certain time you want to try to get off by?
Nah, we're good.
Okay. Who would be the dream player to put through a workout?
I would say Steph, because I would be able to learn from him. Like, it wouldn't be about improving him. It would just be about, like, getting input from him. So I would say, like, someone at that level. Either him, Luka, because I kind of want to understand, like, what goes through a lot of these players' mind. It could be nothing. It could be just, like, bro, I thought they're who. And I'd be like, ah, shit. All right, cool. but I have a sense that they're pretty like, calculated and cognitive. So I'd say one of those two guys as of now, in terms of current players at least.
Okay. And so what do you think about Luka in terms of, because I was looking at his numbers the other day, and they're apparently like the best we've seen up to this point. I'm pretty sure is what I've been hearing and things. But one thing that worries me about him is on the defensive end, where I feel like he's not really, I don't know. I mean, like, people might say that about Steph Curry, but in my opinion, Steph Curry plays the passing lanes amazing. Like, people don't see that. Because I think 1 year he led in steals, which is like, you know, he's not that much of a liability on defense.
No, I think Steph is actually a really good defender and has become one. At the beginning of his career, I don't think so. But recently, I would say he's pretty damn good defender. Luka, hopefully, will take that same route. We'll see. I mean, right now, clearly not the best.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see if he puts – Steph is clearly devoted, like, work to that. You can just tell, and I think he's mentioned it as well. So I think it'll probably take the same thing for Luka, and whether that's done is up to him. But yeah, I think if he does become at least just not a liability defensively, like, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit.
this is a big question. What would you say is not the end goal, but like the ultimate goal maybe for your personal training career? Maybe not outside of by any means, but you as a personal trainer, like, would it maybe be reaching being a head trainer in the NBA, or just working with tons of NBA players and things? What would it be?
I think mine is finding a group of like five NBA players for the most part, maybe a couple, like, you know, overseas guys who are playing Euro Cup or whatever. But just super devoted, like, smaller group, 5 to 6 players who want to lock in every single offseason and make big strides, and then help them see noticeable strides and make a shit ton of money. I would rather do that than having 35 players a offseason come through the gym and just getting grabbing a picture with them. I would definitely, I'm more so in like the, all right, let's lock in like 5 or 6 players and help them see crazy results. Than the numbers game. So I would say that's definitely kind of the direction I'll take it.
Yeah, that's dope. So it's more just have like that tight knit group that you really could see results with. Like, you don't want to just for the looks, for the videos, be like, oh, this week I got LeBron, next week I'm going to train Luka, things like that. So it's kind of like that's just for show. It's not real. Who's like a dream personal trainer you would want to work out with? Like, they put you through a workout.
It's funny because a lot of them I've already worked with them. With them and training with them. There are a couple guys I'm trying to think.
You could say someone that you've worked out with. I guess, unless maybe they'll watch this. I doubt they'll watch this, but if they did, they would be like, what the heck? Coleman said. I'm not his favorite.
No, my guy Mike G. I doubt will watch this, but that's the good man right there. Worked out with him a couple times. He's great at what he does. Trains decent, a great amount of NBA players, but not as in the last question, not like an overly concentrated amount. But the ones that he does work with, Jrue Holiday, a couple others have gotten crazy results. So he's really good on the strength and conditioning side of things. And then a lot of the skills trainers that I really respect and learn from are ones that aren't as like commercialized, I would say. So I got a couple guys overseas. My guy Yorick in Belgium, who probably won't watch this as well. I don't know, maybe. But that's
who knows?
Being in one of his workouts at his academy would be dope. And then, just there's a lot of guys who are just like, you know, not huge names, but it's cool to kind of see how our styles align. And I would love to just be a part of their training and see how good I could get if I did train with them for an off season or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. What's your take on, this is a cliche, but what's your take on LeBron versus MJ? Who's your GOAT, or is it someone else outside of that?
I think, man, I think it's tough to declare it. Like, I don't think we'll ever be able to, because I never watched MJ play. So what can I really say? Of course, I'm going to say LeBron's the GOAT because I grew up watching him. So I was having this conversation the other day with an older guy. Like, yeah, MJ's the GOAT. And I was like, of course you're saying that. And of course I'm saying LeBron's the GOAT. Like, so to me, it's just like, why can't they be 1A, 1B and live together? Like, it's so that's kind of how I see it, is like, number one, we'll never solve it. Number two, they could be the same level of greatness, just different qualities that make them great, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Who was your favorite player growing up when you were playing basketball?
So I'd say definitely Chris Paul at first, and then grew up on CP3, and then kind of shifted over to KD and Steph, but still always rock with CP. Definitely a big influence growing up. So I'll say those three guys were kind of the ones I watched most growing up.
New Orleans CP3 was different. He was bouncy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He could get up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Low key.
Yeah.
Low key. It was sneaky.
Who are some, so you talked about kind of like staying up to date and kind of keep on learning and improving your training. Where do you learn most of the things to improve upon that? Like, are there certain guys, YouTube channels you go to, or certain programs that you would recommend other trainers to maybe try out?
I think a lot of it is just reading books, listening to podcasts, and trying to do it in a wide variety of sources, so I never get like one person just like talking in my ear too much, if that makes sense. So I'm not just carbon copying everything that they do. So I'd say it's a really wide variety of like books, topics, podcasts, and then just like a lot of analyzing the game and not being afraid to apply those things with what I see in the game. A lot of it's just kind of like reverse engineering, so watching the game, what are these qualities, how do we train these things? And then, again, that's kind of where that comes into play, like the books, the podcast, talking to a lot of smart people. So I try to diversify it just so I get a ton of input and can kind of pick and choose what I see fit and what I can add to my philosophy.
Yeah. And I saw you have your podcast, Attention to Detail.
Yeah.
How you liking doing it?
It's tough, man. I try to stay disciplined with it. But, you know, it's when I am able to do it, it's good because it's just kind of a way for me to rant about stuff or talk to people or whatever. So it's somewhat inconsistent for sure, but I do want to get to the point, especially like now that most of my players are going towards the season, where I can get consistent with it and start posting weekly episode or nothing crazy, but it's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and that too. What's like kind of your schedule with the training in the winter when they're in season? Are you still working with a good amount of the players, or is that kind of like a off time? Maybe starting like adult leagues, things like that. Maybe working like with pros who maybe might not be in season. I don't know how the seasons work in Europe as much.
Yeah, but, for sure.
You know what I mean?
So typically, how that'll happen is I won't work with players as much. So that'll be a good time to just like really lock in on the business side of things and the content side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, less training, which is always, it always feels a little bit weird at first. And then mm-hmm. it's kind of fun to be able to sit back and focus on content and things that, you know, may have gotten lost in the mix.
Yeah.
When I'm more busy training. So it's always a good time to kind of shift the focus to working on the business, which is good in the long run.
Yeah. What was the, or no, I don't want to ask that question. Instead, I'll ask, how would you compare living in the DMV area compared to Miami? And I guess you did have a little bit to warm up to it, so you know a good amount of people there because you went to University of Miami. But I couldn't imagine picking up, starting a business in a whole nother state. Especially as a trainer, you kind of got to build up your clientele again. You're starting fresh. You're starting new. Beyond the personal training, like the nightlife or maybe like outside of the business, how is it in Miami compared to the DMV?
I would say Miami is not what people think it is for the most part. I mean, and DC and Miami are night and day in a lot of, you know, different, a lot of different things. And there are a lot of things that I like DC more for. I think it's just a more like, you know, family oriented place in the sense of like a lot of people down here are, I don't want to say the intentions are wrong, but it's like a flashy place. It's a
yeah, I know
like,
what you mean. Yeah.
That part of Miami can be right. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's always been tough for me coming from DC, where I'm just like, you know, I got my group of guys up there and I'm just like, they're like family to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't like get that same feel as much. And it's not just because my family is up in DC, but it's just like, you always feel like it's more family. It's always like the, you know, be safe, bro. Like, love, bro, like all that stuff. Whereas mm-hmm. down here is just like, you know, fuck you guys. Like I'm everyone for themselves.
Yeah.
And again, I'm exaggerating it because you definitely get some of that. Like I'm not gonna act like I don't meet really good people in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But it just I don't know, man. Just the feel is different. And at first I thought it was just me being, whether it was at school or whether it was me being new, not knowing enough mm-hmm. people. But I've been down here 7 years now. I still kind of feel the same thing. I'm just like, all right. Maybe I got spoiled with DC, so I think that. But I do think that there's more motivation down here in the sense of, like, if you are able to use it as motivation, a lot of people are chasing big dreams down here,
mm-hmm.
whereas DC, not that they aren't, but it's, you know, a lot of these kind of government jobs.
Mm-hmm. It's more focused around, like, family and things, I guess.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Whereas down here, it's a lot of, like, young people. Mm-hmm. Who, or even older people who are just like still trying to get the nicest sports car and stuff like that, which is, you know, not personally my motivation. Shit, I would love to have a nice ass car, but that's not my motivation.
Yeah,
but being around people who are grinding to get stuff like that, even if it's like in the entertainment industry or music mm-hmm. or whatever, like I don't care what it is, like you're around a little bit more like entrepreneurial focused people down here is what I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say it's night and day in terms of a lot of things, but it's, you know, it's good to be able to pick and choose from both and have people in both places that I can be influenced by.
Yeah. Does it feel like it's kind of nice to have the separation? Like, does it almost feel like when you're in DC, you're like more chill, just trying to catch up with people, catch up with family, friends, and then in Miami it's kind of like work mode. It's like we're on the grind right now.
Exactly, which is funny because usually it'd be, I guess, the opposite. It was like, you know, hang out in Miami and then just like work in DC. But to me, it's the opposite. And I realized the other day that I've never done like a camp in DC, and I've done one in New York, LA, Chicago. And I'm like, why haven't I done one in DC? And I think it just, I'm trying to plan one, but
mm-hmm.
I think it was because it was out of the sense for me. It was like, you know, whenever I go back to DC, I just want to hang out with my people and, you know, stay on myself, but not have to like, go and do things that I would be doing in Miami or elsewhere. Like that's just kind of my place to be with the fam and stuff like that. So I'm working on it now, but that's definitely a something that I've tried to implement in the past.
Yeah, I totally get that. I feel like you wouldn't want to bring the work with you to DC, and it kind of like, it doesn't, it's not that it ruins it, but it's like it's nice to have that separation kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
You could like, pick you and choose. Yeah. So you talked about opening up another gym. Would DC be an option, or are you looking at other locations where it's like, maybe I prefer this more?
Yeah, I think so. DC, maybe in a long term vision, like years down the line. Right now, we have a couple ones that we don't want to disclose yet.
Yeah, for sure. Because
you know how it can be.
Yeah.
But you know, there's some places that we're looking right now, both nationally and internationally. But I think, you know, DC is definitely somewhere where I would love to go back, and even if it's just partnering or someone who's already killing it up there, just do something for the community up there. Because I do want to give back up there as well. It's like there's, you know, I grew up there. I'm connected to there, and it's a great place. So I definitely think long term, it's something I want to get into. But it's right now not as suitable just in terms of like our model and stuff like that. But it's a great place and somewhere I definitely want to get to eventually.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about businesses out? I mean, I'm guessing you definitely have, but in the near future, thought about businesses outside of basketball at all?
I have. I've thought about it, but the thing with me is I already have so many things going on that it's like, all right, let me scale myself back a little bit and try to stop doing all this stuff. So definitely down the line, like I mentioned, like entrepreneurial side of me is probably going to take over at some point. But, you know, the thoughts are definitely there. It's just a matter of time, I'm sure, before something happens. But I would say definitely for the next 10, 15 years, it's going to be straight hoops or maybe even just like sporting, athletic stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. What are some of the main ideas for outside of basketball?
Bro, it's honestly just random shit. And just like, you know what? That would be a cool product. Like,
yeah.
And it's never really stuff. I mean, to me, like, for example, I do want to push like the By Any Means clothing brand side of things, but like
y'all had some nice clothes. I remember when you had those out. I like the shorts.
Exactly.
The shirts were nice. They were tough.
Exactly. So I want to start pushing that, and you know, it's something that I may focus on a little bit more, but it would probably have to be like one of my team members focusing on it more, because it's just like it would be great, and I think it could be, you know, make money, make an impact, whatever. But it's just like, is that worth putting other things to the side to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Exactly. So
yeah,
we'll have to see about that one. But there are other things where it's just like, good idea. Is it worth it? Probably not.
Yeah. And I saw that you guys had like the NFT collection too. How did that go? What was the process with that?
It was actually good. I mean, we kind of tried it out just to see how it went, and it sold out in like a few hours. So
I know, I was gonna say, when I checked it out, it was sold out. That's what I was gonna say. Like, it had to do really well, because it was all out. I wanted to take a look at them, but I was like, oh my god, they're all gone.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So I mean, it went pretty well. It's definitely something I want to explore more. And these are all things where I can kind of go and circle back and look, like, again, when most of my guys are in season. But yeah, I mean, it's just another way to kind of explore a new area. Like, Miami's becoming a very crypto-centered area. And, you know, I'm around a lot of people who are just in the industry. So it's like, all right, let's see how it goes. Went pretty well, so maybe something to revisit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I do these curiosity tour questions. They're more like thought-provoking, introspective questions, if you don't mind. We could do a couple of those, and then we could call it.
Yeah.
All right, bet. Let's do it. Let me pull them up real quick. I got a whole list of them I got to pick. So let's see. Okay. First one. So when in your life have you felt most alive?
I would say when I'm traveling, doing camps like that, when I'm able to kind of be outside of my comfort zone and see the world and then teach and provide resources for other people. It's like, that's when, to me, I feel like I'm kind of living out my purpose more than ever. So I mean, that's happened in plenty of times, but there are times where I'll be, you know, in a foreign country teaching athletes basketball or whatever, and I'm just like, yo, this is what I was put on earth to do. So I mean, that's kind of like, again, it's happened multiple times, but I would say that's the typical setting where I would say it occurs most.
Do you feel like with that, it's one of those where like each time it feels like totally new thing, where it's
yeah,
that feeling never's gone? at least right now, for as long as you've done it.
Yep. No, exactly. 100%.
Okay. This next one. All right, I like this one. What is the best compliment you have ever received?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one. I would say, I don't know the exact verbiage or words that it would be put in, but more so is complimenting like the passion and the vision than like accomplishments or even the work I've done. It's more so just like, you have, I don't know, such a passion, or we like the vision or something like that, where it's more so like the long-term thing or what my intentions are. When people realize what my intentions are and how genuine they are, that's to me where I'm like, oh shit, you actually see like through, I mean, of course it's like, everything's going to be business. I'm very business centered, but a lot of it is also just like, I mean, it stems from me wanting to make an impact in the world. And when people see that, cause I feel like a lot of people, especially in the basketball training industry, maybe get into the industry for that. And then they just see, oh, I can make money with this. Oh, I can build a little personal brand with this. And then they kind of do it for the wrong reasons. And when people see that I'm still doing it for the right reasons, that means a lot to me, because it means that my genuine nature hopefully has kind of flashed through what we're doing, and people are still seeing that. So I'll say anything that's related to that probably is the most, the best compliment.
Nice. I would definitely second that, because all this content you put out and all the different things, it's like, that's free. That's like free knowledge being given to people. So
that's a fact.
I would second it. Okay.
Yes, sir.
This next one. Who is your hero?
This one's always been tough, bro. Like, it's because I've never had one, and a lot of people can point to one person. And I tell people this all the time, where like, it's mainly just my inner circle, where everyone's just kind of even, and I'm able to kind of pull things from everyone in the circle. Whether that's my friends, whether that's my family, whether that's like people, my team, I'm like for the business. Like, so I think if I would put it in the sense of like, I have a bunch of different heroes, and I kind of pull different things from like all my heroes or whatever. And that's kind of helped me, like, you know, everyone has their flaws, everyone has their shortcomings, and sometimes when you have one hero, I feel like you can see those things and be almost disappointed, where I never expect too much out of one person, because I know how it is. And when I'm able to diversify that with, you know, the entire inner circle, it's, to me, a little bit more well-rounded, and it's helped me, you know, put in perspective better, and also just pull more values and more qualities from people around me. So I would answer it that way. It's a tough one, though.
That's dope. That's dope. I always wonder, because as an entrepreneur, it's kind of like you go in with the mindset where like, okay, I got to wear all these hats and get all these things done. I got to do the marketing, communications. I got to do the customer service, things like that. How has your mindset changed since having a team around you? Was it kind of tough giving them the reins? Like, all right, you could handle this. I'll kind of, we'll see how it goes. Or was it kind of tough to do that?
Yeah, I think, and it still is. It's definitely tough. There are times where I'm like, please take this off my hands. I'm too busy. I don't want to deal with this shit. But then there are also times where I'm like, yo, like, I'll do it. And they're like, bro, this is my job. Let me do it. I'm like, no, I'll do it. And they're like, no, let me do this. And I'm just like, all right, you're right. So it's a balance for sure, and something I'm getting better at. But it's always going to happen. But thankfully, you know, I have talented people around me who one time I let them do it and they do it well. And it's like, all right, you got it from now on. So
it
hasn't been crazy difficult, but it definitely has been a barrier in a learning process.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Awesome. So then next one. Okay. This is a pretty big one. Best piece of advice that you have ever received. A lot of times when I ask this one too, I'll say, if it's tough to pick just one, you could do one that's maybe been on the front of your mind for a while lately.
Yeah, I think, and this is one that's also been delivered in like different forms, but I would say just like making sure to remain consistent and be patient. Like, you know, I'm 23 years old and I get ahead of myself often where I'm just like, I expect this to happen. I expect this to happen. I expect this to happen. And whenever people are like, bro, just like keep going, keep chopping wood. Like a lot of people don't, you know, see any sort of success by 23 years old. And, you know, I've been able to see at least, you know, some in what I love to do. It's just like a lot of people are able to put that in perspective for me. And that's probably the best advice that I'll get. So just like anyone who reminds me to just continue grinding it out on a daily basis and doing it for the right reasons, and then just being patient when it doesn't happen at first, whatever form that comes in, I'd say that's usually kind of the best advice I'll get.
Yeah, that is so crazy to me. You're only 23, got this thing going, and the crazy part is not it's not like you build it up super fast. Like it took time. You started at 16. The thing is, not many people could say they started a business at that age and stuck with it. A lot of people can maybe say they started a business at 16, but they didn't stick with it to where you are now. Right. You know, and that's something like that's huge. Where
that is true.
I envy that, and that's really impressive.
No, I appreciate that.
Because it takes a lot of commitment. Okay, so let's see, next one. Okay, I got two more. So this next one, if you had the chance to talk to your 10-year-old self, what would you want to say?
That's a tough one. I'll probably say to be more open in things outside of basketball. Like, I mean, I probably missed out on a lot of stuff. Not a lot of stuff, but definitely some things where, you know, I was just so locked in on basketball that I didn't want to talk to people who wouldn't help me with it, or travel places where it wasn't basketball related, or stuff like that. So I would say just to be a bit more open minded with stuff that is that's outside of basketball. Because as I'm seeing now, like even my entire life is centered around basketball, but I'm still trying to do things that are outside of it to just become a more well rounded person. And you know, I'm not mad at, you know, where everything has gone since I was 10, but I think I could have developed values and stuff like that just by being a little bit less basketball focused that could have helped me by now. I don't know, but that's definitely something I would mention.
What do you think 10-year-old self would say to that?
He would say, fuck out of here. Don't tell me that shit because I'm going to be an NBA player.
I always like asking that question because I feel like it's like, what would your 10-year-old self say to you after that? And it's like that same response. Like get out of here. It's like, you don't know anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So last one, and then we'll call it. One thing to say to the entire world, what would it be?
I would say do things for the right reasons and shit will work out. Simple as that. Like if you make sure that you're doing something that you enjoy, you're passionate about, and you feel like can make an impact, and it isn't just like, yo, this is a cool money grab or this is a cool quick fame elevator. Like, you know, I think shit will work out, whether that's in the next 5 months, whether that's 30 years down the line. And I'm not experienced enough to talk from that standpoint, but I've talked to a lot of good people who have told me similar things. And, you know, it's, I truly believe in, maybe not necessarily karma, but when you're doing the right things on a daily basis for the right reasons, shit will work out. And, you know, however you want to phrase that, I think that's probably the biggest key that I would focus on.
Beautiful, beautiful. So then, I guess to end it, you want to plug in some of your stuff. Where can people find you? Maybe website, Instagram, social medias. Where can they find you at?
Yeah, for sure. So pretty much everything is under By Any Means Basketball. Instagram at By Any Means Basketball. YouTube, same thing. Also follow the gym page, detail.miami. And yeah, if you're ever in Miami, come check it out. Or if we are somewhere where you are listening to this, come check it out. But yeah, bro, I appreciate you for bringing me on. It was a pleasure. Really, really, really good conversation. So it's a good time.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you coming on. I had a lot of wisdom for everyone, a lot of value. I know all the trainers out there, if they listen to this, they picked up so much from this. At least I hope so. I know I picked up a lot from it. And the business side, too, both of them. If I'm ever in Miami, though, I got to come through to detail, get a workout 100%. In, if that's cool. All right, bet. All right.
Yeah, bro. No, come through. We'll take care of you.
Anytime. All right, bet. Well, all right, y'all. Thank you all for listening to another episode with my guy Coleman. Thanks again for coming. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
And we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Absolutely, bro.